Well, now for this week's contribution to our series, I Knew Her. The speaker today is Dame Caroline Hazlitt, and her subject, Amy Johnson.
In June this year, I was flying over the Atlantic in a stratocruiser and was scarcely aware that we were crossing hundreds of miles of ocean. I'd been sitting in my office at 6 o'clock the previous evening, and now we were coming down to breakfast in New York. As I was trying to adjust my mind to the incredible speed and comfort of such travel, I remembered, by contrast, a run down the Thames I'd once taken with Amy one Saturday afternoon. We started off from a North London airfield and came down at Gravesend. It was near that strip of water which was to be her final resting place. I thought how odd her small aircraft, with its open cockpit, would look alongside the giant cruisers of the air today. The planes in which Amy made her record flights would seem very frail to us. Yet I remember her saying how she used to nurse them and put patches on when things fell off. When she spoke of Jason, the aeroplane she piloted solo to Australia, it seemed somehow like a pet, not something by which you crossed oceans and deserts. By no stretch of the imagination could I regard as a pet the monster which had just brought me across the Atlantic. We took only 15 hours on the flight, but Amy had taken twice as long. Yet it was her pioneering and record-breaking flights which helped to make possible the safe, speedy, and luxurious air travel we now enjoy. Yes, Amy's achievements have meant a great deal to our world today, but they meant something else to the millions of the 1930s who followed her famous flights to all parts of the world. She represented records and also romance. Never shall I forget her arrival back from Australia, when the roads from Croydon Airport to London were lined by wildly cheering crowds standing in places 10 and 20 deep. She received tributes from the great, and also the homage of ordinary men and women. And those of us who knew her well were amazed at her simple modesty in the midst of this world acclaim. We in the Women's Engineering Society invited her to become our president. And I can remember her genuine pleasure and diffidence at accepting what she said was an honour conferred on her, when we really felt we were the ones being honoured. Amy was impelled to fly by two reasons. She loved adventure, and she wanted to make a real career in aviation. Her grandfather was an adventurous Dane, and her father had been among those out in the Klondike gold rush. Amy always spoke with very deep gratitude of the support she received from her parents when she was feeling after her career, trying many avenues before she eventually found her place in the air. First as university graduate in economics and as business college student, then doing humdrum work in various offices, and later enjoying a brief but interesting spell in advertising, then serving behind the counter of a London store, and finally paying out of her hard-earned salary for flying lessons at a London aerodrome.